joining us via the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Baltimore Sun, Dan Connolly. Dan, good afternoon.
I appreciate your support for me in the top 100, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, it was only 175. You would have been 177.
I got a jersey that says 176.
Yeah, I would have squeezed you in there at some point, but it wasn't up to me. It was your paper, Dan. If you have a beef, take it to your sports editor. Well, the Orioles don't really have a beef right now. They've won two in a row. And before we talk about last night's epic win and what it means for today, by the way, given the fact it went 15 innings, we talked about it prior to that 15-game gauntlet against all these contending teams. And even though they were 4-5 Baltimore on their recent homestand, they still finished that stretch at 9-6. And I'm thinking, we go back 2 weeks ago, Dan, and say that. They go 9-6. Everybody's taking it in a big way.
You know what's funny? Every little section of this schedule, we have broken out and said, but this is a big test, and we'll see how they do there. And honestly, they have passed each one of those so far. I mean, you know, and we'll see what happens when they get to the Nationals and whatever. But, you know, and Boston comes into town after that. But, I mean, you know, they have had a tough schedule. I think what's most impressive about this run is that they have had a tough schedule the last, like you said, 15, 20 games, and they've handled it. And so, I mean, that's kind of what's most impressive to me. Not that what their record is right now, 24-14, but – who they've done it against. I mean, they played some good teams, and with the exception of Texas and that one series at home against the Yankees, they really acquitted themselves well.
Last night, Orioles win in 15 innings. They had a 13-inning game against Boston, then the epic 17-inning game as well. Last night, 15 more for them. Birds now 5-0 on the road in extra-inning games this season. But Adam Jones hits the home run, and when he homers, the Orioles tend to win, and he's hit some big ones for them this year. Hearing anything about a possible startup of a long-term contract extension beginning here?
I have not, and it's something we've been, you know, we've obviously been trying to follow here. Basically, if you look overall, you know, Dan Duquette does not normally do negotiations in season. Adam is basically saying it's up to my agent. You know, that I'm not going to worry about it at this point. His agent, Nez Bolelo of CAA, is based in California. When the Orioles were in town in L.A., Dan Duquette and Nez met. but, I mean, it was just more of overall discussion kind of stuff. I don't think it was anything specific at this point. And I'm not really sure that just because he's got a hot start or whatever, that they're going to suddenly begin the conversations. I think it'll be something that will happen this offseason, the conversations anyway. Or if they feel like in July they had the conversations and they seemed way too far apart, then I still think it's possible that the Orioles could deal him. I think it would be a very difficult thing for the Orioles to deal him right now, simply because it would signify to fans that they're going backward. And right now they're trying to keep this momentum going. And he is obviously the key, one of the two or three keys to this team. So I just think this is going to be something that's going to draw it all year, and that this offseason is going to be a very key offseason. It will be his last year of arbitration. He is a free agent after 2013. So I have said this to you, Bob, a couple times, and I maintain it. What they do with Adam Jones, I think, is the most important storyline of this year, bar none.
Dan Connolly, Baltimore Sun, here on 105.7 The Fan, courtesy of the Alpaca Ford Hotline. And you brought up a very good point there with the fans. And the fans are jumping on the bandwagon, and it's good to see, and hopefully this momentum rolls through the summer months here. But trading away Adam Jones, I think, set you back three paces here with the fan interest, not necessarily interest, but having the faith and the support of the fan base by trading away, let's be honest, probably their best player right now.
Agreed. However, you know, in the past, the Orioles have made some decisions based on what the reaction would be, the fan reaction would be. And in retrospect, many of those good or have not panned out or haven't panned out yet. They need to make the best baseball decision. And if they, you know, if they get overwhelmed by a deal, if the Braves come to them and say, okay, we're going to send you Hanson and two other players of top quality, because we want Adam Jones so badly, they have to listen. I mean, and they have to make the decision based on baseball decision and not fans' decision. That said, right now, the best baseball decision is to keep your best, or arguably certainly one of your two best. I mean, I think Matt Wieters has played himself into possibly the best Oriole as well. But, I mean, one of your two best players really you would think the best baseball decision is to keep that guy and keep him long term. I think Adam has some interest in staying here long term. I think he also has some interest in being paid exceptionally well because he wants to be one of the best players in baseball, and he wants to be paid as if he is in that echelon. And that's really what the Orioles have to figure out. Is he a $90 million player? Is he a $100 million player? And that's something that they're going to have to figure out before they decide what to do with Adam Jones, because he is going to get a huge payday at some point.
Now, if it's Dan Duquette or any executive goes to Peter Angelos and $100 million comes out of his mouth, does Angelos put his two forefingers in his ear and start going, la, 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 I'm not hearing you right now?
You know, I don't know, because it would be the largest contract given in Orioles history. The largest previous to that was 6 years, $72 million to Miguel Tejada. And, you know, Peter Angelos, people say he doesn't spend, and I will argue that point. But he does not usually, he doesn't, period, after the Albert Bell signing, really, he does not break the bank. He does not go well beyond what the market looks like. And, you know, I don't know what he sees as the market for Adam Jones at this point, but I don't see him going to one of those deals that everybody around baseball goes, woof, I just don't see it. I mean, he just does not operate that way. And really, honestly, you know, the Orioles have not got, they've been saddled with bad contracts, long-term bad contracts in years because of that philosophy. That said, you know, Adam Jones is one of your own, so what are you going to do with him? And, I mean, they have shown an interest in extending, you know, Nick Markakis, extending Brian Roberts. They did it with Melvin Mora and Jay Gibbons. So, I mean, they have extended their guys, and we all know the nightmare that happened when they didn't extend Mike Mussina. So, I mean, I think this is an exceptionally interesting situation. I think there are four or five different ways to look at it, and that's why I think it is the storyline of 2012.
Dan Connolly, Baltimore Sun, here on 105.7 The Fan, courtesy of the Alpaca Ford Hotline. All right, let's get back to last night's game. Key contributor, of course, was Tommy Hunter. This is a guy, Dan, that was sent back to the minors because of an injury, came back up. How much did he solidify his spot in the rotation with his performance on Wednesday against KC?
You know, I think his spot was, I know it sounds silly because he got sent down, I think it was always fairly solid. The main reason he got sent down was because, you know, because of the 17-inning game, they needed reinforcements. He had just pitched that game. I was kind of the belief that after those 10 days were up, the requisite 10 days he had to spend down there, he was going to come back up anyway. So I think his spot is pretty solid. You know, I think there were some questions on whether Brian Madison's spot was solid. He pitched, you know, pretty well his last time out, and he goes again today. So I think the rotation is fairly set. I think Hunter is a guy that they like a lot, that they think he's an innings eater type guy. You know, he was dealing with an oblique that he didn't really talk to anybody about. He was dealing with back from problems from earlier in the spring. So, I mean, you know, you got to wonder if he was 100% healthy when he got beat up a little bit in Boston. I think he's considered, you know, a guy who's got fairly strong footing here. And right now, the way everything shakes out and the way the guys are pitching in the minors, starters and such, I would think he's on solid ground.
Another guy pitching very well for the Orioles right now is Kevin Gregg. He gets the win last night with two scoreless innings of relief. Where's Kevin Gregg stand in the eyes of Buck Showalter right now and the organization in general?
You know, this one actually cracks me up because I think I was one of the very few supporters of Gregg, just in the fact that I don't necessarily think the guy's a closer. He has not been able to, you know, we saw what he did last year there. But everybody wanted to cut him. Everybody wanted to eat the $5.8 million. If you're going to be a contending team, you need as many good arms in the bullpen as possible. And Kevin Gregg, when he's on, is an effective major league reliever. I'm not saying he's a closer. I'm not saying he's somebody that you always want to depend on in tight situations. But he can get out on the major league level. And at $5.8 million, you had to keep his roster spot. And people complain, fans complain, whatever, because it's not their money. And they don't, whatever. But, I mean, if Kevin Gregg were to be put on, you know, released or put on waivers, he would go through waivers because no one would claim that salary. And as soon as he was done clearing waivers, there would be roughly, I don't know, probably six or eight teams knocking at his door trying to get him to come in for the minimum. So he was difficult to trade because of that salary, but the guy is a major league reliever. I know he hasn't looked particularly great, but there are times when he has been very good. He's been good right now. They're still kind of picking his spots, not putting him in one-run games in the eighth or ninth innings. But, you know, when they need somebody to come in for one or two innings in a tie game, they've called on him, and he's done pretty well.
Dan Connolly, Baltimore Sun, joins us each week here on the Haney and Zeno Show, courtesy of the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Dan, as always, we appreciate it. Enjoy the Preakness on Saturday if you have time to do so, and keep bringing home some wins for you.
DC for that rivalry, unfortunately. That, well, newfound Orioles Nationals rivalry. We'll watch it on TV.
Yeah, well, Davey Johnson and Peter Angelos will shake hands and hug and brother it up, I guess, down in the nation's capital. Dan, have a great week. We'll talk to you.
All right, take care, Bob.